I'm very happy now to welcome artist Jerry West. He is being honored this year by the Rotary of Santa Fe with the Artist of the Year Award, and this coming Saturday, the 17th of April at 4 o'clock at the St. Francis Auditorium in the New Mexico Museum of Art will be an event to honor him with this award. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, Marsha, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here, really.
Now, you are truly a long, long-term New Mexican, and you started painting at a pretty early age?
I did.
What were the earliest subjects?
I grew up in Santa Fe. I had a father who was an artist, a WPA artist for many years.
Is that right?
Lived on Canyon Road the last 16 years of his life and had a little gallery up there.
He was a WPA artist. What kind of work did he do?
Well, those of us who are familiar with the WPA period, it was a kind of a social realism. But he was a guy who had come out of Oklahoma, came to Santa Fe in 1924, and pretty much was self-taught. I mean, he had had some commercial art training and painted signs and that sort of thing and bopped around the country for after high school years and so forth. But he arrived in Santa Fe because of an older sister that had preceded him by a year and had immediately gotten in with the old art community of Will Schuster and Gus Bauman. And Hal fell right into that group also, learned printmaking really early with Gus Bauman, became one of his puppeteers for a while. Good friends with that whole crowd of people in the early days, but pretty much self-taught. And always stayed to the imagery that he had sort of grown up with. He had a proclivity to do things like homesteaders and some cowboying, but mostly that sort of thing, small farmers, cotton pickers. So he never really converted to what you'd call the Southwest painter of Aspen and whatever. In his woodcuts and lino cuts, he did a few things. You could tell in the early pieces that he was very charmed by Santa Fe, you know, anyway, even though he grew up in Oklahoma Indian country. But he loved the Native American people, but didn't fall into that genre of doing and painting Indians or Hispanics or whatever, except in these little ways that he could paint, you know, obviously a Hispanic guy and a gringo cowboy or something, or a Native American, that sort of thing. But it was very honest and unpretentious in those days when he was doing it. But anyway, there were five. I'm a sibling with five of us, and we started out on Canyon Road. My first years, I was 1 year old on Canyon Road. Then my dad, because of the Great Depression, they sort of moved around, you know, to smaller places where they could find an inexpensive little studio or whatever. So we lived mostly on the outskirts of Santa Fe from about 1935 on. And it was a very interesting period just before the war where we went to Puye. In those years of Puye, the Fred Harvey Company and the Museum of New Mexico and the Santa Clara Indians decided to reopen. They had been closed through the great part of the Depression. So they opened the little museum again, and they needed somebody to kind of run the museum and kind of act as custodian, and they sent Hal and his family up there, and it was a great, great year of our life. War broke out in 1941. They closed it down again, but it was a significant period of our life just to be in that world. And we consistently went back to Puye and knew lots of the natives up there and so forth.
We just did a book last week about Fred Harvey and the Fred Harvey Company.
I saw it.
And it's so interesting to me, this whole thing of Fred Harvey both kind of exploiting and kind of preserving Indian culture. What was your perspective on that?
Related. I mean, I think Fred Harvey was a person and institution or whatever you want to speak of that way, who did, it was a two-edged thing. he certainly opened for the Native people a venue for showing their work and buying really good work, which was a great boost to these people. And that whole period when they were digging, University of New Mexico and other institutions, when they were digging up Apuya, they hired the local San Alfonso and Santa Clara Indians, and they learned a lot about their earlier motifs and patterns and so forth. So, and there were those good scientist types who understood art and actually gave, as they did with Martinez, you know, the husband of Maria, you know. He began to design and do Maria's pots with the ancient motifs that they got off of these pot sherds and whatever, you know. So it was an interesting thing, but it was a combination, you know. Fred Harvey would go to the dances at the right times. He would take these people up there, and it was a class of people, but they, it's all those things of exploitation at the same time, but they certainly, it was a two-edged thing. I think they did help in many ways.
So it's interesting for you. I mean, you had so many influences. You know, your father, who was a WPA artist, Indian art, Hispanic art of northern New Mexico, mm-hmm. the land itself, the animals, right. the people, and really old Santa Fe, which we can only have glimpses of these days. And all of that went into your art.
I guess it did. Yeah, absolutely did. I mean, because my brother and I started looking at ruins from the time we were, you know, 6 years old. You know, we would, like, certainly at Puye, we just scoured those canyons, you know, way before Los Alamos. But that whole area was our kind of playground for a lot of years. And, we always lived out of the country. We were isolated. There's a kind of strange combination in my life because we had an isolation, kind of a maverick father, but a man who also brought people into our home, even when we were isolated and living way out of Santa Fe. You know, he always managed to stay in touch with the art community, and he brought many, many interesting people into our life. You know.
And so what were some of the earliest subjects that you were painting?
Well, you know, Hal West was the kind of guy who never probably said two words to me about painting or drawing or anything else. But in those early years, his little studio, we lived in a three-room house. I mean, a bedroom and a kitchen and a living room and an isolated room where my older brother and I slept and hung out. But Hal had his own little homemade studio right there in the corner of the living room, small living room. He made his own little press for doing his lino cuts. Did that, had a handmade press and so forth. So we sort of grew up, you know, smelling the ink, watching him put on ink with a brayer, rolling these little blocks and that kind of thing. So, you know, it kind of got embedded in me really early, certainly imprinted. And I happen to be the one of the family. I tell this story because it is interesting. I was just the more visual one. So I didn't read very well. I had an older brother who knew everything already. You know, he was born bright and knowing things. I had a sister who was a great student in school all the way through, an A student, and I just kind of struggled. But the one thing I could do is draw. A younger brother later on who just had this great imagination and ability to learn songs and to sing and that kind of thing. But I was the one who kind of struggled through but managed to draw from the, you know, third grade on. I was the class artist. They'd put me up on at the blackboard, as we called it in those days, and I would do chalk drawings two or three times a year. You know, it's Christmas time, I'd do the Christmas mural, so to speak. And it just followed me through school, that kind of thing. I did not go away to study it, you know. I didn't study. I had a little scholarship to go to college and study art, but I didn't. I went on up to Fort Collins and I became a biologist. did graduate work in biology, came back to Santa Fe High and taught. There's a, you know, lots of things in and out of teaching, but I taught for 10 years in Santa Fe High and Santa Fe Prep, in the early days of Santa Fe Prep, and made the decision to go back to Highlands and study printmaking and painting quite late. I mean, I'd already been teaching for 5 years when I made that decision. Went back in summers and then for a whole full year. And once I finished the degree down there, graduate degree down there, I actually quit teaching completely and never really went back to full-time teaching. I taught some in college, taught out Santa Cruz for a while, UC Santa Cruz, taught printmaking out there, and then did a lot of artists in residence in prisons in California as well as penitentiary out here.
Is that right?
Yeah, did large murals with the prisoners. I'd go in and we would design a pieces together. One great piece I did at the, I call it a great piece because of the process, not a great painting. But we'd go in and we'd decide paño art, that is a painting in prisons, painting on men's handkerchiefs, a paño. Was very popular. And they would all do these things. And they would send these little paños out to their girlfriends and wives and families and so forth. So I kind of used that as a metaphor. So I had them all do a dream paño. And then I also taught them how to take that little small man's handkerchief size image and blow it up to a huge piece. And so we did these floating paños over a background, which I painted, of that area of what state penitentiary at that time, the La Cienega and all the hills and the cerro and so forth. And so we all did one giant paño, I mean each of them, and so they had their own little paño that was their piece of art, and the background was mine. And we did it on an exercise yard that was about, you know, probably 200 feet around.
What was it like for them?
Well, they totally enjoy, you know, they didn't have long periods that they would only allow them about 3 hours a day to do that sort of activity. And then I would stay late into the afternoon and evening doing the background. But we had a Navajo who wrote a poem around the banner, which went around the bottom of the piece. And then the Vasulkas came out afterwards, and we did a little video of that piece, which was kind of interesting. And Woody Vasulka interviewed these guys, and it was just a real touching piece. I did another piece, of course, in a section of the prison which was maximum security, and my guy had to come in chains, basically, in handcuffs. They put us in a little yard together, and we'd paint for 4 or 5 hours together. And I did some out in California in a really crazy prison out there where there was lots of in and out of the prison. And so we had to design something where we could do some significant things. And but it was a great experience, you know. And I did many other kind of artisan residence things in senior centers. I had about 5 pieces in senior center, working in that case with older women mostly. Had these little 75-year-old women up on scaffolds, which is kind of fun. Some of them had never painted before in their life. You know, it was a nice experience.
So you've worked a lot with people projects.
Yeah, I mean that was just you know, the process, which was more important. Although they would all end up, because I always designed the piece in such a way that they had one part of the mural, which was really theirs, because you know they could be a Grandma Moses, and they could do some primitive little thing, and it was still their piece. And that was I often did with memories, and so we'd sit and talk about the memories that they may have, and they would then try to translate that memory into some little smaller painting.
We're talking to artist Jerry West, who is going to be recognized as Rotary of Santa Fe Artist of the Year. So you were having a little retrospective also at Linda Durham's gallery.
Yeah, I am. Which is, wonderful of Linda to open her gallery up to me. And I know that it's partly design. I mean, her showing me at this time was something that was in conjunction with the award of the Rotary Club. And I appreciate that, although the show will be up for a month, and so people can see it for the whole month. The initial opening, however, or what we might call an opening, is pretty much tied in with the Rotary Club event down at St. Francis Auditorium.
Now, did you participate in choosing the work that's going to be at the gallery?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's my earlier work. I have maybe two brand new paintings of that thing that I did last summer at Jamie Hart's, where I did a series of Santa Fe paintings. So we're going to show about four or five of those Santa Fe paintings, and the two new ones being part of that five. And then earlier work, maybe one thing that I showed last summer, but majority of them are older works, but that have not been shown. So it'll be kind of an interesting show, going back about 25 years.
So when you look at 25 years worth of, mm-hmm. of paintings, what do you see when you sort of put them all together and look back over?
Well, I hope it's not too much of a hodgepodge thing. I did a lot of evolution change in my own work through that period. I was doing a lot more complex paintings in those days. I mean, I guess I call them psychological landscapes. A lot of it during a period of really intense anti-nuclear pieces. I guess I have a couple of those that will be shown. And strange little metaphors of myself dressed as an ancient knight, only the armor that I have is actually a ballistic missile, you know, a missile shield around me, that type of thing. And I call it the return of the nuclear warrior. You know, it's kind of worn out. It was that period when everybody was totally exhausted. We still are, of course, exhausted with this whole nuclear issue, but we see some kinds of glimpses of something that might change, you know, with the more recent non-proliferation treaties and so forth. But anyway, that's part of it. And, you know, there's just a lot of earlier paintings that do have a little more psychological impact on people, I hope. And then there's some very safe little wonderful paintings of trees, which I painted a lot of, and a variety. And then I'll have maybe five or six of a series that I did. I called it The Prairie Night because it was all dealing with my dreams of growing up in the Santa Fe area, in the prairie country, and troubled times of my kind of high school youth and so forth. And, you know, the wonderful, beautiful thing of growing up in the prairie, but also kind of the underbelly of that world. So it'll be a nice variety of things. And I've done... for people who are sort of interested in looking back, I'll have some little online books that I have recently put together. Tara Gibbons, who's my daughter-in-law, mother of my little Clementine, granddaughter, she's helped me put together five little booklets of just, primarily I'm doing them not because they're great books at this point, but there is some writing, some of my explanation about that period. And also, it was a chance for me to get in one place all of the work of the last 30 years. So I'll have those little books.
Jerry West is an artist. He is Artist of the Year, being honored by the Rotary Club of Santa Fe this Saturday at the St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexico Museum of Art at 4 in the afternoon. And there will also be a show at the Linda Durham Gallery that's going on for a whole month. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thanks, Mary Charlotte, a lot.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.